The Senate confirms Marine Corps General Joseph Dunford to be the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Air Force General Paul Selva will be the new vice chair. It's the first time in 32 years that all of the members of the Joint Chiefs will turn over within a year. Nora Bensahel is distinguished scholar in residence at American University's School of International Service and a non-resident senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. She and her colleague, Lieutenant General David Barno, U.S. Army retired, have a recommended reading list for the incoming Joint Chiefs. Nora, this is a terrific list. I commend you and Dave on putting this together. What was the thought process behind which you put these items on this list? Thanks for your time today.
Thanks very much for having me. We came up with the idea for this column as we were talking about what this transition meant with having so many of the Joint Chiefs turning over within such a short period of time. And we realized that the chiefs every year put together a professional reading list for the members of their service, or in the case of the chairman, for the force as a whole, that would help their professional development of the people in their service. And we realized that, you know, with such a turnover in such a short period of time, that they probably needed some reading that would broaden their perspectives, that would help them do their jobs as well. And so we did a little bit of an unconventional list. It's shorter than most of the ones that they put out to their forces. We deliberately didn't include a lot of military history or strategy, figuring that the chiefs would be very well versed in those things from their careers, but instead focused on items about leadership, about how to keep in touch with the troops, how to make an impression during the first couple of months on the job, and in particular, focusing on the rate of change in the global security environment.
There are a number of things that I saw on this list that I liked, or reasons why I thought it was particularly striking. One of them was the way in which you framed the opportunity in front of all of these people who are taking these jobs. You and Dave write, if all goes well, you'll have 4 short years to bring about change. And then you become an oil painting decorating the E-ring. That's a little humility there to remind them of, it sounds like.
It is. And, you know, 4 years is not a lot of time when you're talking about big organizational change for any leader, but certainly one that's as complex as, you know, a U.S. military service or the U.S. military as a whole.
All right. You've got 5 items on here. I'd like to talk about each of them in turn. The first one is called The First 90 Days by Michael Watkins. What's there that you think is significant, Nora?
Was a really helpful way to focus on what's important at the very beginning of your tenure. The main argument of the book is that the first few months on the job are absolutely essential because they set the tone for your entire tenure in office for anyone. The book is written with a business audience in mind, but on reading it, we felt that much of it applied to the incoming Joint Chiefs as well, about how to put together their teams, about how to think about what their priorities are in particular. You know, all of the chiefs have gone through leadership transitions before. You don't get to be a 4-star general or admiral without having, you know, undertaken many different jobs at different times. But we, the person who recommended this to us was a CEO of a cybersecurity firm who basically said that he assigned this to all new hires in his company. And when anytime anyone gets a promotion, so that they can take a step back and think through what their new role is. We thought that would be good advice for the chiefs as well.
I think that's true. And I was reminded of that on Friday by Dick Myers. He was on the program and talked about the differences between serving as chairman or serving on the Joint Chiefs and every other command position that he held throughout his career. That interview is at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. But he pointed out that exact thing, Nora, which is no matter how well prepared each of these men is for the job that he's about to take, it's not the same as anything they've ever done before.
No, and what's particularly different here is they sit atop the military hierarchy of their service. You know, there's always been a chief above them to whom they would look for guidance and final decisions. Now they're that in that position. There's nobody above them, you know, to help make those decisions, to force them to make those decisions.
The second item is not even reading. It's it's Did You Know Shift Happens 2014 Remix. What the heck is this, Nora?
Amazing 5-minute video. We did want to be slightly unconventional. There are a couple of videos on here as well that we thought just very powerfully demonstrates the speed of change in the global environment. It's a lot of individual data points, but the way that it's put together really makes you think about, you know, the world that we're in and how fast it's changing. One of the things that we put in the column as an example from the video is that in 1900, human knowledge doubled every 100 years. But in 2020, that's only 5 years away, it's going to double every 12 hours. I mean, that's a huge change. It the video includes all sorts of little facts like this, but the way that it puts it together truly makes you think about the environment that we're in and the very profound changes that that environment is going to provide. It won't tell the chiefs what to do about it, but it very powerfully, in a very short video, it sort of sets the stage of the world that they're going to be living in.
The third item is Future Crimes by Mark Goodman. What's the story behind that one, Nora?
Yeah, this is a somewhat terrifying book that looks at the way that emerging technologies are going to shape not just criminal behavior in the future, but also threats to national security. Much of the vulnerability that he identifies comes from the cyber realm. And really, as I said, some very difficult things to think about in terms of our vulnerabilities as a U.S. military, but also as the United States as a country, as our society, our domestic vulnerabilities as well, that I think will really start to make us question the traditional distinction we've had between national defense and homeland security.
The next item on the list I'm very familiar with. Matt Burroughs has been on the guest on the program as a guest to talk about this book, The Future Declassified. And I think it's fair if you wanted to call future crimes chilling. Future Declassified is also, but maybe in a different way.
Yeah, he talks about what we found useful about this is that Matt Burroughs talks about a number of different global trends, but also paints some alternative futures, looks at some different scenarios to try to figure out how those trends are coming together and how to identify what some of the most meaningful of those may be. The reason why we picked this is because every staff everywhere has a tendency to focus on the near term, and that's nowhere more true than the staffs of the individual chiefs of services, because they have so much on their plate. They have so much to do just on a day-to-day basis of managing their service. What we wanted the chiefs to get out of this in particular was to make sure their staffs are thinking about the longer term, that they make sure to set aside some of that time so that they are prepared, a bit more prepared, when unexpected crises erupt.
One of the things I liked about that book is that a lot of people who look at where the United States will be and where the world will be 2030 and beyond have a pessimistic view of things. And Matt's outline is not, I mean, there are certainly some pretty severe and critical challenges, but Matt's worldview doesn't strike me as particularly pessimistic.
No, it isn't pessimistic. But what it does do is show you that the rates of change, again, a theme that's throughout a lot of this, and how they could come together and interact in some truly unexpected ways. And thinking those through ahead of time is going to be essential for the chiefs to minimize the degree of surprise when crises erupt.
The final item on your list is my favorite, not just for the comedic value, but for the deeper satire that exists at Duffelblog. For people who aren't familiar with it, would it be fair for somebody who doesn't know what Duffelblog is, Nora, to call it the Onion of the military?
That is exactly what it is. It's a fake military news site that, if you know the military, is just as funny as the Onion is about U.S. broader society.
So here are some of the headlines at this hour on the Duffelblog. Pentagon regrets taking out payday loan for F-35. troop cuts spark new Army of None marketing campaign. New father volunteering to stand duty for everyone. It's stuff like that. Why is it important for somebody on the Joint Chiefs to pay attention to that from a serious perspective and not from an I want to knock them out perspective?
Yeah, it's a really important source of feedback, even though it is satire. You know, we all love The Onion and we all love Jon Stewart or, fill in your fake news anchor of choice, because they reveal broader truths and they do it in a funny way, but there's something broader there about their commentary. I hadn't heard the ones that you mentioned today. I hadn't looked at it yet today. But, the Army cuts sparking, an army of none really does tell you something about how people in uniform see those cuts, see the threats to the Army, and so on. It's a way for the chiefs, who are going to be more isolated than they ever have been before in their entire careers. They always have, as they've, gone up in the ranks, they become further and further away from the troops. But once you become the chief of the service, nobody is ever going to tell you the truth anymore unless you seek it out and ask for it directly. It's very hard, because people only want to present the boss with good news. So keeping tabs of things like that as a way of getting a sense of what the issues or what people are finding humorous, even if it's dark humorous, perhaps especially if it's dark humor, really reveals a lot about where the average soldier, sailor, airman, or Marine may be coming from.
All right, there's a couple more I have to mention just because they just are great. Charitable soldier installs doors in Afghan homes, kicks them down. National Guard announces bold new third to fight advertising campaign. And a commentary opinion that's attributed to Donald Trump, candidate for president of the United States, opinion, everyone in the military is a coward. It's just the hits just keep on coming.
It does. But, you know, for example, that one on the National Guard points to a very serious issue right now, which is the degree to which the National Guard in the future is going to be an operational reserve ready to mobilize quickly and join fights, or a much more strategic reserve, which will be less ready. That's a current fight that's playing out in the Army in particular right now. And that gets to that, shows that that's something that's on the mind of the people who are looking for a military audience.